When they detached the first marble panels from the brick walls, they discovered that salt from the canals had seeped up through the porous bricks and permeated the marble. The marble slabs had become 14% salt. Many of them were on the point of exploding. Each piece of marble had to be removed and desalinated by soaking for months in specially built steel tanks filled with circulating distilled water. The restoration had taken 10 years, not 2, and the cost had ballooned from an estimated $1 million to $4 million. But none of that mattered now. The completed Miracoli was already being hailed as a masterpiece of restoration and a model of cooperation all around. The project had been the most ambitious ever undertaken by any of the 30 private committees that were doing restorations in Venice. The spectacular results had occasioned an outpouring of goodwill towards Save Venice. Members of the prestigious Ateneo Veneto, the supreme council of the Venetian intellectual community, had voted to present their highest honor, the Pietro Torta Prize, to Save Venice and its chairman, Lawrence Dow Lovett. Lessa Marcello had spoken with Lovett earlier in the day to let him know that the award had been confirmed. Lovett, a native of Jacksonville, Florida, had endeared himself to Venetians by buying a 19th-century palace on the Grand Canal, restoring it, and taking up residence in it. The palace was sumptuously furnished and had a spectacular view of the Rialto Bridge from its broad terrace, the largest terrace on the Grand Canal. Lovett frequently gave elegant dinner parties for 20 or more, catered by Harry's Bar and served by a squadron of white-gloved waiters. Countess Marcello also sent word of the Torta Prize to the president of Save Venice, Randolph Bob Guthrie, who lived in New York. Guthrie was a well-known plastic surgeon, one of two doctors who had invented the standard procedure for reconstructive breast surgery. He and his wife, Bee, lived in an Upper East Side Manhattan townhouse. Their ground floor served as the headquarters of Save Venice. Lessa Marcello was in high spirits as she walked back from the Miracoli to the Save Venice office. She knew that, in her own way, she had contributed to the success of the Miracoli restoration. At the office, she found a fax waiting for her. It was from Bob Guthrie. She read the first line. Then she read it again. "The news that the Torta Prize has singled out an individual," Guthrie had written, "is shocking." She continued reading with a sinking heart. "Please tell the head of the prize committee that the restoration of the Miracoli was the result of efforts by a great many people in Save Venice, and that his committee's proposal to single out one individual is not acceptable to the board of Save Venice. The award, if given, must go to Save Venice as a whole. Otherwise, Save Venice will formally request that the prize for its work not be given at all." Without ever mentioning Larry Lovett by name in the letter, Guthrie told Lessa to inform the committee that the person they had selected to receive the award had not been the chief executive officer, in other words, the president, of Save Venice for nearly 10 years, and that, in any case, it would be presumptuous for one person to accept a prize for the work of so many others. Guthrie's letter was blunt, peremptory, and unyielding. He closed by telling Lessa that unless the prize committee members changed their minds, she was not to give them any information, photographs or documents, or to cooperate with them in any way. "I want there to be no mistake in Venice about how we feel." The reasons behind Bob Guthrie's facts were many and complicated, as Countess Marcello was well aware. But for the moment, the letter meant only one thing: that a panel of distinguished Venetians had voted to honor Save Venice and its chairman Larry Lovett with their most coveted award, and Bob Guthrie, the president of Save Venice, was prepared to fling it back in their faces.